This is Taking On Sports, where you'll find the best takes on all of the sports stories that need to be taken on. Like today, myself and Mitchell Thomas dive into the Lions' priority list for their offseason. Alrighty, Mitchell, let's get going here as we're kind of in between sports. College basketball really hasn't heated up yet. There's not a ton to talk about for another couple of weeks. There really isn't much going on in the NBA with the Pistons. They're just bad. The Red Wings, none of us really watched the Wings enough to be able to talk about them. So I'm sorry if there's any Wings fans who listen to this. You know better than me already. But football season is year-round, and there's not enough to talk about with the Tigers. And Will and I can do baseball stuff all through the summer. So we're going to talk a little football. We're going to talk a little Detroit Lions because we're starting to get to the point now where teams are really going to start making some offseason moves. The combine is coming up soon. The draft, obviously, is just 2 months away. And free agency starting already for some people who just got cut before the free agency period actually starts. So we wanted to make a priority list. Top priorities for the Detroit Lions this offseason. We each have three on our list, and we're going to just go back and forth on what we're going to start at the top priority, work our way to the second priority, then the third priority. So, Mitch, if Brad Holmes were to come to you right now, if he were to hop in to this video call and say, Mitch, what should be my number one priority this offseason? It is blank.
Well, in this scenario, I would tell Brad Holmes that the Detroit Lions are contenders for the first time in our lifetime. So now it's time to shell up the money, shell up the dough, go get a Brinks truck, and go spend the money on some big-name players to help this team, primarily either at the defensive line or cornerback position. Because, I mean, we talked about it enough times on the pod. That defensive back room is absolutely atrocious. They need to get all the help that they can to bolster that squad up. And so, pretty much the number one thing for me is to go get the best cornerback that's in free agency. Whether that be either a Jalen Johnson on the Bears or Kendall Fuller on the Commanders, I don't want to necessarily overpay, but you want to make them pretty high paid so that they are tempted to come to the Detroit Lions and, you know, contend for a Super Bowl. If we had one of those guys on the team just this past season, they would have been playing in the Super Bowl. They wouldn't have had any bullshit passes bounce off a defender's face mask and then land on a I already forgot his name. It was Ayuk.
Yeah.
Yep. They wouldn't have had that happen if one of those guys were on the roster. No, I mean, a fairy tale scenario would be to make L'Jarius Sneed the number one, probably the highest paid corner, for him to come and get on the Detroit Lions roster. But I just don't think the Chiefs will let that man go away. I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl. He was making plays. He was locking up the 49ers wide receivers all game.
Yeah.
He made a couple big plays in that game, too. So I just don't see that happening, but I would really like them to back up the Brinks truck to get L'Jarius Sneed to be a very highly paid corner on this Detroit Lions roster.
Okay, good. I'm glad you brought up L'Jarius Sneed because I was going to bring him up if you didn't. Because, yeah, he's got to be the number one target because he is still pretty young. He's not someone who you're going to go. And, you know, Kendall Fuller is someone who I think that maybe his best years are starting to get behind him. I wouldn't want to make him supremely high paid. I like Jalen Johnson from the Bears too, and I think he's someone who you could bring over. Just look at the running back room. Go talk to David Montgomery, and he can talk with Jalen Johnson about how good the coaching staff is here, especially with the changes that are going to be happening within the Bears. And they're just in flux because they're probably going to take a new quarterback, but Matt Eberflus is a sitting duck. So getting someone like Jalen Johnson for the Bears would be fantastic. I think that's a solid number one. I think that you're attacking this a little bit differently with going after a corner in free agency, not necessarily, you know, as a number one priority, not necessarily in the draft or something like that. So I actually think you're a little bit different on this. And my number one priority doesn't actually pertain to the defense at all. my number one priority is on offense, because this group goes round with a quarterback. And the number one priority is getting Jared Goff on a fair deal. There was a story that came out from Jordan Schultz at Bleacher Report earlier this week that Dak Prescott may command $60 million for his next contract extension. $60 million.
Jesus Christ.
Joe Burrow makes 57. That's the highest paid. Justin Herbert makes 55. And Burrow, you can almost think that that's okay. Jared Goff is up for an extension this offseason. I will be fine. Albeit the number sounds like a lot, I will be okay if they sign Jared Goff to somewhere between $35 and $45 million. If it's $40 million, if it's 3 years at $120 million with, let's say, somewhere between 70 and 100 of that guaranteed, sign me up. And I think that that should be the number one priority, is you show this team, if you're Brad Holmes, the number one priority is showing this team, showing that locker room, showing this city, we've got a guy, we're standing behind him, no more questions about the quarterback.
Yeah, obviously you don't want to overpay for a quarterback. Just, to help the roster and so you can get players at more important needs. Right. I mean, Jared Goff is very important to this team, don't get me wrong, but especially with Ben Johnson still sticking around for at least another year before he goes get a head coaching job at a place he actually likes. I'd agree with you there. Anything below probably like, I'd say $50 million or less, I'd say,
yeah,
would be a good deal. I mean, if we could get him for $35, that would be absolutely fantastic. I'd sign that in a heartbeat. But yeah, I mean, I have no issues with signing Goff to like a three, maybe 4 year contract.
Yeah.
If we have to keep him in Detroit for a little bit longer.
Right. And then you look at maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown. There was a story almost right away in the offseason that they were in discussions of making him, a $25 million receiver. And that is a pretty solid number as well, because there are guys, I think Tyreek Hill makes 30. And so if you can get Amon-Ra for $5 million less than with a salary cap that continues to grow, I think that that's really, really good. And Brad Holmes could be really, really big time if he can bring in guys who are really good players. Now, Jared Goff is not a top five quarterback in football. Amon-Ra St. Brown, though, might be a top 10 wide receiver in football. And if you can bring him in without paying him even top 10 money, top 15 money, then obviously that could be a big deal. So my number one priority right now is sending the message to the locker room that we're going to build upon last year by keeping the guys that we have and not trying to make big drastic changes. What is the number two priority for Brad Holmes?
Yeah, so I mean, you just talked about extending Goff and everything. Not to get too far ahead here in the Detroit Lions dynasty here, but we got to start reserving some money for Sewell and Hutch.
Yeah,
when they get their extensions in a couple years. So if we can lock down Goff and some other key positions and still leave room for those guys to get big extensions, because those are going to be like
big
when their time comes. Those guys big are going to be demanding like probably biggest contracts for their position, especially Sewell.
Yeah,
he's been a monster ever since he's been a rookie. You could just see it straight from the jump that he's one of the best offensive linemen in the league. And so with that, and kind of ways to save money. Well, I shouldn't say ways to save money, but I mean, you can start by re-signing C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Emmanuel Mosley. I don't know if you want to get them on another one-year rental type of contract or if you want to extend them for maybe two. But, I mean, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we didn't get to see a whole lot of him this year because, he got hurt early on, came back for playoffs for a couple games. And then for Emmanuel Mosley, I thought he was such a great addition to this Lions team. Because as soon as he went down, I can't remember what game it might have been against the Panthers. But once he went down, you just see straight from the jump that the defensive back room was just god awful. So he was a really good piece in kind of holding that cornerback room from getting exposed.
Yeah.
So I think re-signing those two guys to help boost their defensive back room would be very beneficial. Hopefully you can sign them for not super big contracts or anything along those lines.
Yeah, mostly played in one game. He only played a few snaps before he got hurt again. I mean, it was terrible to watch because he was such a big-time signing for them. He was so... I mean, he was going to be like the third corner. And when you have Mosley at your third corner, it was going to be pretty good to where at the end of the year, I mean, heck, you mentioned the ball hitting off Vildor's face. Vildor signed off the Bears practice squad pretty late in the year. So, yeah, making sure that corner room is solid is so important. And bringing in a veteran, re-signing guys who've already had the coaching of Aaron Glenn, I think is really important. I don't need to see drastic changes on this team. I'm glad that you and I are thinking relatively the same way. We just need to kind of clean up in a couple of areas, and I think you're going to see a big time jump. So my number one priority was re-signing Goff and possibly Amon-Ra St. Brown. My number two priority still is not factoring into the defensive backs. My number two priority is getting another edge rusher. That I think is number two. Whether it's signing Danielle Hunter, I think that's a good option, or you're making your first round pick an edge rusher, but this isn't a great edge rusher draft. There's not those guys who really jump out at you. Somebody who I really like, I watch a ton of Big Ten football, is either one of the two Penn State guys, but I'm actually a fan of Adisa Isaac, maybe even a little bit more than Chop Robinson. Isaac didn't have the production, but he did have much, I thought he was a little bit more athletic than somebody like Chop Robinson. So whether that's going after somebody like that or any way that you can, bring in another pass rusher that is not trading for Khalil Mack. I've seen that thrown out once or twice. Please don't do that. That's a terrible idea. And I don't think that Brad Holmes is dumb enough to do that. He doesn't. That's a Bob Quinn move if there ever was one. That's not something that Brad Holmes would do. So my number two priority is finding somebody opposite Hutch who is actually someone people have to game plan for. I like John Kaminsky. He's pretty good. I like Aleem McNeil. When he can get that interior pressure, it can wreck games. He did a really good job. Josh Pascal blew up multiple big plays this year. He's someone who could make a play when you need him to, but he's not someone who actually scares you. So I look at the Bears trading for Montez Sweat and going, man, that guy was probably someone we could have brought in. Chase Young going to San Francisco. That's a guy who you're thinking, man, if you put him in the right spot with the right energy around him, could he have been really good? So this is not a great edge rusher draft. Danielle Hunter might be the guy you go get. Maybe you can throw a blow, you know, absolutely blow away offer at Carolina for Brian Burns. Find a way to bring in somebody opposite Hutch who's going to fit in. Hutch is a great run stopper. Get someone over there who's just a maniac to rush the passer.
Oh, yeah, I definitely feel that way, too, that the defensive line is their second biggest need on the defensive side of the ball. So, I mean, trying to sign Danielle Hunter would be the best option if you want to target the defensive line and everything. And then, you know, targeting depth in the draft, too. I don't know who's going to follow us all the way at 29, which is really interesting that we get to say that because we're always used to top 10, maybe like 15 type picks, but
yeah,
no, gotta wait all the way till the end in Detroit to make a draft pick. So that'd be really interesting to see who falls down.
It's gonna be a long night, no doubt.
It's gonna be a long night. I don't really expect them to, I mean, trade up to get anyone. I mean, it'd be cool if they did, I guess, but you know,
if they trade back, I'm gonna riot.
Yeah, no, that would not be fun for us avid draft watchers to witness and everything, but yeah. I mean, you hit it right on the head. That defensive line does need to get some help. And then hopefully James Houston wants to get healthy in the off season. So that can help McNeil, Hutch, and everyone that you already mentioned on the defensive line. But so when speaking about the draft, you have four picks in the first three rounds. And so you have to use all those picks to strengthen your main weaknesses on the team. So, I mean, like I've said in the past, couple points here. Use those picks to strengthen the defensive back room. Get like a defensive lineman that falls to you either second or third round. And then maybe you have to use one of those picks to get some type of guard if you don't re-sign Glasdow and Vitai. I really want them to re-sign Glasdow. I think he's a really good key piece, like a bona fide, I'd say, starter in the league. I mean, he didn't start beginning of the year, but when Vitai went out, Lastell fit right in, and you didn't really see any drop-off from the offensive line play or anything. So just how to use those picks, man, to boost up what's struggling with the team.
I'm going to work almost on the same way here with the third priority. It's also draft-related, and it's also top of the draft-related because, yeah, I do think in that first round you have to look at – now, I mean, the board's going to fall where the board falls. If there's not a top edge rusher or corner, they might take an offensive lineman with the first pick, or they might trade back, whatever it may be. Brad Holmes is also not afraid to go get his guy traded up for Jameson Williams. This is a guy who's not afraid to go and make a move for somebody, and he's very telling about who he wants. I love all the draft room videos because he gets so excited when he gets his guy, and teams now are going to start to wonder when Brad Holmes calls them and wants their draft pick, they're going to wonder why he wants their draft pick, because they're going to look back at last year and go, damn, this guy was in on Gibbs. This guy was in on Campbell. He nailed it with Branch and Laporta. This guy took Laporta over Michael Mayer. Everybody laughed at him, and he was right. You know, all of these things where people are going to start to look at, and I'm sure that there are people within the NFL who were thinking the same way Brad Holmes was, that Laporta was over Mayer, and that, you know, they had Jahmyr Gibbs. There were thoughts that Jahmyr Gibbs wouldn't even made it to, you know, 18, where the Lions, you know, possibly would have picked next, that instead they drafted him where they did at 12. And there are people who said, oh, Gibbs wouldn't have been there at 18. So, no, they couldn't have gotten him there. You know, Peter Schrager said that about other NFL GMs. So there are people who do think the way Brad Holmes does, but he's already gaining a reputation. You can just kind of feel it, where people are going to look at him and how good of a draft he just had with these rookies and go, why? Why is this guy calling me now? Who does he want right here at this pick? And so my third priority, I was picking between two things here, and so I'm going to kind of squeeze them both in here, is you've got to nail the draft again. And that's a very vague thing for a third priority, but I can't tell you who the players they should draft necessarily are in the second, third round. And especially because I'm not used to having to predict the 29th pick, as you just mentioned. I'm used to being like, oh, well, we know who's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Then the Lions pick 7th. I know what's going to happen. And I don't get that opportunity now. I've got to look back into 29. I don't know who's going to be there at 29. Every year, there's three dudes in the first round who you go, who's that? I didn't see him on a single mock draft. Who is that? And so the Lions need to continue to draft their way. That's what I'm going to say. If they just go out there, and I'll tell you right now, Mitch, I don't expect them with those four picks in the first three rounds to go corner, edge rusher, guard, wide receiver. I don't think that they're going to go with those four things. There's going to be a strange pick. They're going to take an outside linebacker. They're going to take a safety. They're going to take an offensive tackle with something like that with one of those picks, and they're going to be right. That's the thing, is they're going to be right, or they better be right. Continue to draft your way, Brad Holmes, because it's made it this far, and I'm not in for big changes. Like I said about Dan Campbell, where, hey, you went for it on fourth down. You got us this far going for it on fourth down. I want you to keep coaching your way. Don't pull a Kyle Shanahan and all of a sudden get conservative in big games. Keep coaching your way. I like the way that sounds. I think that's what the Lions should do. Keep drafting your way. Keep being aggressive. Go after your guy because he's just good at football, not because the draft gods tell you have to take an edge rusher in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can piggyback off of that and add to one of our three main points of what the Lions should do in the offseason is to keep Brad Holmes on this team, in this organization, for as long as we possibly can, yeah. Especially with last year's draft, where I know we all talked in the group chat. We were like, what the fuck are we doing? You could have drafted Bijan Robinson, but no, you traded back, and then you got Jahmyr Gibbs later on in the draft. Like, what the fuck are you doing, Brad Holmes? We all know the defense is ass, and you didn't address it until later on in the draft. Brad Holmes made us eat our words. there is not one of us, I don't think even the most diehard Lions fans were like, yeah, I mean, I see what he's doing. He's drafting positional value. I mean, I can see all this work out. So, I mean, he's got the benefit of the doubt for me. So, I mean, like you said, if he just starts drafting weird towards the end of the first round and everything and gets the best player available and everything, I won't be as mad as I was last year. He's earned that much for me.
No, I was the most supportive out of all of us because I understood the Gibbs pick. I didn't understand the Campbell pick. The Campbell pick, I was like, I don't know, off-ball linebacker? I mean, middle linebacker, leader of the defense, I guess. I mean, maybe, but Jack Campbell was probably the fourth best of the four-star rookies. I mean, he's not the guy who we look at and go, wow, Laporta probably won, Gibbs two. Man, Gibbs, Branch, Laporta, you could kind of put them all there. Branch was also really good on that defense. It's just not his fault that the defense wasn't all that good. But kind of my fourth thing that I was a little bit hesitant about is, or the thing that I was like, well, maybe we should talk about this, or I should put this in the top three because I knew we were going to talk so much about the defense, was that they need another receiver. And Jameson Williams showed flashes, but Jameson Williams, so far, his best plays are as a runner. He was better as a receiver, but they've gotten to the point now where they need another big play receiver. And I like Jameson Williams. I have not sold my Jameson Williams stock. I have come close so many times. Kyle Remenap and I talk about it all the time about Jameson Williams. It's the thing we text about the most. But I'm going to hold on that he's still going to be a good receiver. But this team needs something more reliable. I don't want to go pay Mike Evans $30 million a year. I don't think that's the smart thing to do. I like Josh Reynolds, but they need another. Last year, they brought in DJ Chark, who I thought was a really nice big play receiver who they can bring in. Now, they need to look for somebody like that, somebody who they can just throw the ball down the field to, who's going to go make big plays. Somebody like how the Ravens brought in Odell Beckham. Somebody like how the Lions brought in DJ Chark last year. They need to find that big play wide receiver who's not going to break the bank for them. And I think that could come up big for them in big plays. You just need another reliable set of hands because Jameson Williams isn't it. And you need someone on the outside who can make big plays.
Do you not believe that Donovan Peoples-Jones, who we traded for at the trade deadline, can be that guy?
I don't believe that he is that guy. No. No, I don't.
I mean, yeah, what you said obviously makes sense. Don't want to pay Mike Evans that big contract to be number two wide receiver, even though he's been good ever since he's been in the league. Yeah, I mean, just looking at, like, free agent wide receivers here, I mean, you could bring in, like, a Gabe Davis. Maybe even a Tyler Boyd. He's been really good since he's been on Cincinnati, even as that number three wide receiver with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. I mean, you can bring him into Detroit, get a little bit more more opportunities, possibly being the second wide receiver and just, you know, having Jameson Williams be the fuck it, chuck it downfield kind of guy that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like adding wide receiver would be pretty beneficial as like one of the few needs on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I look at somebody maybe, like if you want to go back to Jared Goff, I don't know if this guy, I think he was there with Goff, but Van Jefferson is a guy who you could just get the ball down the field to. He doesn't need eight targets a game. He's a guy you can throw the ball to three, four times a game while you're peppering it to Amon-Ra, to Laporta. Josh Reynolds is a free agent they've got to bring back in, who I'm sure they will bring back. Josh Reynolds is a fabric of this team. I know he had two huge drops in the last game of the year. I still believe in Josh Reynolds. I'm not out on Josh Reynolds. He had two huge drops. It's okay. I forgive you. I'm starting to get over the loss to the Niners. Starting to. I still hate the Niners with a passion. And I watched this for people, obviously, who are listening who weren't with us. I watched the Super Bowl with Mitch. And we were hardcore rooting for the Chiefs. I mean, it was like they were our team. We were rooting for the Chiefs because him and I'm glad that there's somebody else who were so anti-Niners after that game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate a whole lot of NFL teams. I don't know if I mentioned this on the pod or if I told you when we were playing games or anything. But, I mean, besides the Packers, I'm going to be fuck the 49ers for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever get over that. I mean, I think the 49ers are pretty much like my Ohio State version of the NFL, just based on how that game ended and everything. So that first half was rough. I mean, Chiefs did not play well at all. I thought the 49ers were just going to, you know, cruise on to Super Bowl victory. But thank God our hateful watching turned out victorious and that the Chiefs were able to get another Super Bowl. Patty Mahomes boy and Taylor Swift got to party it up with Jason Kelce in Vegas.
That's right. So the Lions have a big offseason coming up ahead. It's find a way to beat the Niners, because I would love to play them again. I so badly want to play the Niners again after being up 24-7 and watching them lose in the Super Bowl in overtime and have most of their players say they didn't know the rule. It was so great to see them lose that way. It's a huge offseason for the Lions. I think last offseason was bigger just because they needed to make that jump, and now they're here. Now it's about sustained success. There doesn't need to be big wholesale changes. There needs to be small moves that improve this team while keeping business as usual, while keeping the cap number where it's at, because you're right, they've got big paydays coming for Penei Sewell and for Hutch and Amon-Ra St. Brown. All of these guys need to be paid. Those are fabrics of the team. There are some guys who they're going to have to let go who are going to hurt. That hasn't happened a lot as Lions fans. We have not let a lot of guys go, and it's hurt us to let them go. So I wouldn't be surprised if you end up seeing one of the offensive linemen play for a different team, whether that's Decker or Ragnow. I wouldn't be surprised if they go somewhere else. I think they're going to retire soon. I don't think they're not going to be on the team real long, but maybe those are guys that move on somewhere else. Maybe you are going to see Jahmyr Gibbs one day end up somewhere else, or we're going to kind of use him up and chew him out like the NFL does running backs. You know, so we'll chew him up and, you know, spit him out like the NFL does running backs. So we'll see what they end up deciding to do. Big time offseason. It starts with re-signing Jared Goff and having some stability in this franchise. All right, just a quick pod today. That's all we've got for you. Not a ton going on in the sports world. We'll have more coming up. We're saving our time for the NCAA tournament pod, which is going to be multiple hours. So we did it the last time that we had this iteration. Last time there was a Taking on Sports pod, we did an NCAA tournament pod. And we're going to do it again. And I'm already looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. We're going to do an NFL draft pod. So we've got some longer ones coming, but for now we're going to stick to some shorter stuff. Mitch, appreciate it, my friend. You can find Taking on Sports on social media. Find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and follow us on Spotify. Please share our stuff around, because if you like us, your friends and family probably do too. For Mitchell Thomas, I'm Brad Gressens. Taking on Sports